Well, before we begin our Torah study, we'd like to pray. Would you pray with me? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to continue talking about breakthroughs because we're still focusing on Kadima, moving forward together, moving forward with the Lord. And some breakthroughs, as we talked about last week, come suddenly, and some come little by little. Do you remember how to say little by little in Hebrew, anyone? Ma'at ma'at. Let's all say that together. Ma'at ma'at, little by little. And many breakthroughs come, whether it's sudden or little by little, they come after there's been a spiritual stirring. God is at work many times through the very people he wants to give a breakthrough to, and he will stir people's hearts and their spirits. And I want to just ask you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 35, verse 21. This is not in our Torah portion this week, but it will be read in the weeks to come. And it describes a detail that's left out of the readings this week that I wanted to bring to your attention to start off. It's describing the people who came to bring an offering, a terumah offering, for the house of God. And it says they came, Exodus 35, 21. They came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit was willing. The heart and the spirit. Let's just say that together. The heart and the spirit. You see, the heart and the spirit can be stirred up, stirred by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can stir your heart. He can stir your spirit. The greatest commandment, Yeshua said, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. But he starts with the heart, quoting Moses, because when the heart is stirred, you know, the other parts can be stirred. People sometimes try to only know God with their minds and not with their hearts, and there's a limit to that. But if you learn to love God with your heart, you'll also be able to love him with your mind. The heart and the spirit are connected to each other. And when the heart is strong, the spirit becomes strong. When the spirit is strong, the heart becomes strong. And this week's Torah portion will help us focus on stirrings of the heart and spiritual stirrings. So let's go to Exodus chapter 25. I want to read to you the first 9 verses. You can follow along in your Bibles. If you brought a Bible, congratulations. I brought one here. I brought a digital Bible. I always carry my iPhone, which has Bibles on it. Let's see all the iPad and pad Bibles in the room. The big ones with the big screens. I got to get one of those. I got a little one. And I'm still wearing trifocal contact lenses. Wow, I need a big screen. Exodus 25, starting in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they would bring me an offering." And that offering in Hebrew is terumah. Say that with me. Terumah. This is not the tithe. This is another offering. It's the offering of the cream of the crop, if you will, the best from the top. "From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make for me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them." That was the scripture that really inspired us to build this sanctuary. And so we're here almost a year. Next week, it'll be a year. So we're going to congratulate ourselves and celebrate next week as we get ready to welcome Purim. We're also going to be able to say, "Lord, it's been 1 year," next weekend when we moved in. "Let them make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. according to all that I show you, Moses, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. So let's just walk through this, and then we'll go further. The Lord says to Moses, you speak to the children of Israel so that they can bring from me this offering. It wasn't first in the idea of the people. It wasn't in Moses' mind or his heart. This originated in the heart and the mind of God. God said, you, Moses, go to the children of Israel and tell them to bring me an offering. And then the Lord says, but I only want you to take an offering from those who are giving it willingly with the heart. You see, this is an important attitude that we're going to explore, because the stirrings of God in the heart and in the spirit are to be processed in certain ways. And when you and I learn to respond to God's stirrings and to open our hearts up to Him, He does powerful things and mighty things. And then here's the offering. Okay, tell me the metals that are identified here.
Gold,
silver, bronze. Okay, three metals. What about brass?
Nope.
Copper, zinc, nickel. Those are good metals, but they're not in the plan. Okay, there are colors that are named here. Let's just name anything that's identified as a color. Scarlet, blue, purple, red. Where? Different version, yeah. See, not every color is included. Okay, what about fabric? What kind of fabric's identified here? Linen. What kind of linen?
Fine linen.
Not the cheap stuff, right? What's the thread count on fine linen, ladies? Who knows?
600.
Okay. Okay, that's a good sheet. That's good stuff. Okay, what kind of animals can be used?
Goat,
their hair, right? What else? The skins from rams and badgers. Badgers, can you imagine? I mean, where do you even find a badger these days? Where?
Wisconsin.
Okay, I was born in Milwaukee. Do we have badgers up there? Yeah, okay. Okay, but how do you get a badger in Israel? I guess there are badgers there too.
Imported,
yeah. The skin that made Milwaukee famous, imported to Israel. Badger skins, they must have been around somewhere, the rams too. And what kind of wood? Acacia wood. What about good old Florida pine? Nope. Okay, oil for the light, spices for the anointing, oil and for the sweet incense, and then some precious stones. It names the onyx stones, and then generally the precious stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And then it says, verse 9, according to all that I show you, Moses, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. Now, there's an understanding that Moses saw the heavenly temple. Do you know that there are basically two temples? There's the temple that was built on earth, and there's the temple that's eternal that exists in the heavenly realm. And Moses was given a vision of the heavenly temple where God actually dwells in a place that was not made by human hands. And Moses saw this picture, and God said, now you make for me a sanctuary that's like the one that I live in, and then I'll come down by the Holy Spirit and be with you. I'll dwell with you. Now, when God came down from heaven and his Shekhinah presence was in the tabernacle, does it mean that that was the only place in the universe where God was? No. God, who was present there, was also simultaneously present in heaven and anywhere else he wanted to be. Now, that is the difference between you and me. We cannot be in two places at once. There's an old Jewish saying, you can't dance at two weddings with one tuchus. No, you should say tuchus on the podcast. That's, you know, it's funny. There are certain words you can say if you say them in Yiddish or Hebrew. You can't say them in English. Because they're sweet in Yiddish and Hebrew, and they're not in English. Okay. No, that doesn't have to be edited. but thanks for the recommendation. Yeah. You see, you and I can't be two places at once, but God can be right here with us, and he can be anywhere else at the same time. The Holy Spirit can come and fill you up, and he can fill you up too. And he can fill you, and he can fill up people not in this room. Do you know he can fill up people who agree with your theology and people who don't agree with your theology? Do you know that? Can I hear? Brenda knows. Thank you, the rest of you. Finally, I was just waiting for a response. And do you know he can fill up people who like you and people who don't like you? Yeah. And that's why this world is bigger than you or me. And we are not the ones who decide who God is going to touch. He's the one who decides. He can be with you and he can be with someone else who's very different from you. Well, Moses saw the vision of the heavenly temple and he built a replica. That's why in Hebrews it tells us that he built something that in English is often called a copy, but I think that cheapens it a bit, a replica. He tried to replicate what it is that he saw. But it was a physical shadow. It's a funny thing to say. But, you know, when you're standing outdoors and the sun is bright and you cast a shadow, you can look at the shadow and it's connected to you, but it's not you. You are real. The shadow is just connecting to your presence, but it doesn't have any presence of its own. In a way, the physical temple of Jerusalem was a shadow of the heavenly temple. It was a picture, it was a replica. There already existed a heavenly temple, and Hebrews tells us that when Yeshua died, and he became the Kippur that paid for the sins of the whole world, his sacrifice cleansed the temple. But the temple that it cleansed was not the Jerusalem temple, it was the heavenly temple. And it changed everything because the temple was cleansed. Now, we're not going to go into a lot of detail about that, but it's important when you see the words like pattern to understand what the pattern is. It's not that Moses just had some ideas. It's God was showing him something. Now let's go back to this detail that is so important that we want to make our focus tonight. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. God is showing us something. He wants to build a house. And he wants to build a house so that he can be closer and with his people. And he knows that his people need to gather together and worship. They need to know that he's there. It's not just that they're there, but he's there. Yeshua said it like this, where two or three of you are gathered together, there I am, right there in the midst of you. Now, why did he say that? Because you and I need to know that he's with us. When we sense the presence of God, it's important to us. And if we gather together and we don't know God is with us, it will dishearten us. We need the presence of God. But God wanted his house to be built by an exclusive group of people. It did not matter whether they were wealthy or poor, whether they were young or old, male or female. It actually did not matter how much stuff they had or what they had accomplished in life. One thing mattered. And that is that their heart was moved. And it was moved towards God. It was a heart he was looking for that wanted the presence of God, wanted to be close to God, and wanted to be generous to God. A heart that was moved. But he didn't want a heart that was only moved as if the heart is just responding in an emotional way. He wanted a heart that was moved for action, that was willing to do something. You know, it's much easier to think about being generous than it is to actually be generous. Here's how you can prove it. Just think of how much you would love to give. And just, if you had all the money in the world and you wanted to contribute to the sanctuary here, to take it another level or to help build the synagogue, how much would you want to give? If you were a trillionaire, how much? A billion. Billions, even. Gazillions. Even more than that. Why, I'd give it all except for a little bit. You see, it's easier to think about giving what you don't have. It's easier to have the thought of giving than it is to actually give. God was saying, I want people who are not only moved in their hearts, but they do it. So take that offering from them when they're moved in their hearts. God's looking for people, you see, who respond to the stirring of their spirit by God. God's looking for people who are responsive to him. That's why Yeshua taught so much about hearing and doing. And he speaks about desiring things and then praying for those things because you're in a right relationship with God. He speaks to us about our spirits, about our hearts, and why both Moses and Yeshua are in perfect agreement about loving God with all of your heart and your mind, your soul, and your strength. God wants us not only to be stirred in our hearts and stirred in our spirits, he wants us to do something. And what I want to focus on this evening is this, that when God stirs our spirit, it's because he wants us to be moved to action. When our hearts are willing and we are thinking positively and we want to see something happen, he wants us to match up our actions with the things in our heart. Now, let me compare it to something that's everyday human. Women want their husbands to tell them that they love them. Is that correct, ladies? The fact that he said, I do at the wedding, that's good. And the fact that he said, I will, that's good. That's a start. But if he says, I already told you, that should count. The truth is, that's not a good enough answer, right? Ladies, can you agree with this? Am I right? In the same way that a woman wants to hear from her husband, I love you, she also wants to see his actions line up with the words. Am I right? The words are not enough. The words are one part of the recipe, but they're not the whole thing. So what do we want? We want to hear the words, and we want to see the action that lines up with the words. Am I correct? You see, God feels the same way. He wants to hear the words. It's not enough to say, well, I believe you exist. That's okay. Even demons are capable of doing that. So that belief does not rise to the place of faith, nor does it rise to the place of worship, though it can. God is looking for worshipers, people who will put into action the things that are in their heart. And so when the Spirit of God is stirring you, when your heart is being stirred, then what's next is for you to say yes or no to his Spirit. Now, I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because there's another recipe here. Last week, we were looking at a recipe that's important for a breakthrough, about how you mix thanksgiving in with your prayers and you think about excellent things and fill your mind up with that which is good. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a few verses starting in 16 going to 19. This is what I want to show you. It says, be joyful always. Say that with me. Be joyful always. Verse 17, pray continually. Say that too. Pray continually. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And then the last part of verse 18, for this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. For this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. And then verse 19, Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Or don't quench the Spirit. Say that with me. Don't quench the Spirit. When you think about the Spirit or the fire of the Spirit, you can compare it to Acts chapter 2, where tongues of fire came upon the disciples. Or you can think about the burning bush, where Moses saw the manifest presence of God as a bush that was burning and yet wasn't consumed. And we can quench the Spirit. We can put out the fire of the Spirit. Paul is saying, don't quench your spirit. When the Spirit of God is stirring up your spirit, stirring up your heart, don't quench it. Well, what will quench the Holy Spirit? There are several things. Disobedience. That's right. When your heart is saying yes, but your action is no, that quenches the Spirit. When the Spirit of God says to you, be generous right now, and your heart says, I want to, and then you reach into your wallet and you say, nah, not now. That's when you quench your own spirit. That's when you're putting out the fire of the Spirit. But it doesn't just happen with money. But the truth is, if our wallets don't come under God's authority, it'll be hard to get other parts of our lives under His authority. If our mouths don't come under God's authority, it will be hard to get other parts. If our eyes don't come under His authority, if our hands don't come under His authority. You see, we are to come under His authority with all of our strength, every capacity we have, every quality that we have. Now, I want to encourage you to pay attention when you're being stirred. If you're stirred to give, give. If you're stirred to pray, pray. Over the last few weeks, I found myself with people who are telling me something, and I actually feel from the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to pray right now. Have you had that experience recently? I'm supposed to pray right now. And sometimes my mouth says, well, I'll pray for you, meaning later. And whenever I say that, I get this little feeling inside, that wasn't right. Has this happened to anybody here in the last few weeks? And yet, when the Spirit of God seems to be stirring me, pray right now, and then I pray right then, I feel the joy of God, and I'm expectant, and I'm thinking something's going to happen. Because that yearning to pray is my response to what's in God's heart. He's saying, pray now. When you're stirred to serve, serve. When you're stirred, try doing what you're stirred up about. That's the main thing that we want to learn. God is looking for people He can stir so that He can move us. Try saying yes. Just try doing it and use that simple Hebrew idea, ma'at ma'at, little by little, gradually I'll say yes. Did anyone put into practice the principles of ma'at ma'at this past week? Where you had something in front of you, maybe it looked big, and you just said, I can do a little, because I can say yes right now to this. Little by little, you can say yes to God. It's not saying yes, and you mean, God, you only get a little. It's saying, yes, I will do that little thing that you put in front of me now. My yes is a yes, even though what's called for me to do right now is just a little. Now, one of the ways that you can test the stirrings of God is just to determine this. Is this something God wants done? Because if He wants to do it and you're saying yes, you're responding to Him. Now, if it's something you know He doesn't want and you're trying to justify it yourself, just say no. Then be stirred by the no and let yourself say no. When God is stirring us, it may not be our idea. It may not be our timing, but we want to learn something. When the Spirit of God is stirring us, we can say yes on His terms, which includes when, where, how much, and so forth. When God wants to do something now, telling him later doesn't work. And in the same way, when God is saying wait, pushing, striving to make something now doesn't really work. You know, when we lived in Ukraine, we worked in the former Soviet Union for about a dozen or more years. We had this saying, it was called hurry up and wait. There were times when it felt like we just had to push to do something, and then we pushed, and then we just had to wait and wait and wait. And that actually helped us. It strengthened us. It helped us understand that there are times when you push, and there are times when you wait, and sometimes one comes right after the other, and you can't control them. You just have to yield to them. Well, God says to Moses, you take that offering now. Build the sanctuary now. Build my house, not your house. And he was looking for people who had a desire to give. And this is what you want to cultivate in these next few weeks. It's the desire. Get really clear with the Lord about what you want to have desires about. Bring those desires to him and let him work with you. You might say, Lord, I have the desire to be able to speak nicely to people in times of conflict. Anybody have that desire?
Yeah.
I have the desire, Lord, to be able to persevere even when things are tough. Anyone have that desire? I have the desire, Lord, to see breakthroughs. Not just in my life, but in other people's life. I have that desire. You start telling the Lord what you have a desire for, and then he'll start inviting you to participate in things. And he'll say, okay, you have that desire. Here's your chance. Go do this. Here's your chance. You might say, well, Lord, I have a desire to be generous. And the Lord says, okay, go over here. You find yourself over there, and he says, be generous now. And you say, well, that wasn't my plan. I wanted to be generous. Actually, I wanted people to be generous to me. Have you ever had that? You know, when you're praying for generosity, you really want other people to be generous? Well, the Lord will give you opportunities, and he will give you resources as well to work with. If you're faithful to God, he'll give you resources. If you don't have resources, you know what you can do? Pray for resources. And ask God to give you resources so that you can be generous in the way that's on your heart. As an example, tithing. I know as we've been focusing on giving the whole tithe, some people are being stirred and say, I want to give the tithe. My money's not in good condition. And my finances aren't in good condition. I can't seem to make the finances work. And God says, well, you try it. You test me and see if your finances don't come into order by giving the tithe. In other words, there are some people who say, well, I can't give because I don't have what I need. And if I give, I'll have even less. And God says, I'll fix your resources. If you give from the top, in full, I'll make up everything and give you more than enough. And he's basically saying, I'll make the finances work out. Now, you may find, oh, well, I gave, but my finances didn't work out. And you'll find that he wants to touch something else. He may want to touch your debt or the way you're handling your money or your allocation or even your desires for stuff. Have you ever bought something that you didn't need? Anybody here? Oh man, I'm remembering when our kids were young. I've got this vivid memory that just came back, and our kids, you know, they got some birthday money or holiday money, something like that. We took them shopping, and one of the kids impulsively bought something. Maybe spent 10 or 20 bucks, I can't remember what it is, and we're driving home. And our child is like opening up the toy box and looking inside, and and disgusted because the picture was so much better than what was in the box. And what that child got was nothing compared to what they were hoping to get. And I remember that just them crying, I wasted my money. And it was true. They'd wasted their money. That was true. We all can do it. We can buy things we don't need. And in fact, we can have houses and garages full. Here in Florida, we don't have basements. And so what we have are storage units. Right? And people put stuff in the storage unit, and then they fill that up, and then they get another one. And then they sometimes think, well, I'll just combine. I can save a lot of money if I just put everything into one place. And then often, you know, when such folks in Florida die and their kids go to the storage place, they say, what's all this junk? And then they're left having to throw away what was useless. How many of you can verify these things happen? I mean, this is real life here in Florida. We end up with stuff we don't need, and everything we got that we don't need was a waste of money. Money that could have been used some other way, could have been used for productive purposes. It could have been saved. It could have been spent on our necessary bills. It could have been given away. It could have been just set aside for the rainy day, for those unexpected expenses. It could have been used effectively, but money that's wasted is just wasted. It's gone. And God's saying, don't waste your money. Give me the first part. And then I'll help you watch over the rest. And I found people are more motivated when they give that tithe because they got less. Immediately, you've only got 90% of what you started with. And so you start saying, well, what am I going to do with this 90%? I'm going to be wiser. I'm going to be more careful. I'm going to be more prayerful. And so that's just one of the ways that it works. But there are other ways as well because God promises to do great things. So sometimes people are stirred, but they feel like, I don't have what I need. And God is saying, well, if you'll respond to me, then you'll have more than enough. So you don't give from the leftovers, you give from the best. God always said, bring me your best. Bring me your firstborn. When you bring a lamb, let it be a perfect lamb without any spot or blemish. When you bring an offering, let it be the best stuff. And regarding our finances, he wants the same. He wants the best. And so it takes real faith and it takes stirring to give tithes, to give teruma offerings, to give other offerings. And it's not, how can I say this? Money can become something that's dedicated to God. Just like every other resource and asset that we have. We can dedicate our finances, we can dedicate our time to God. And as we dedicate anything to God, you know what? It takes on new purpose and new value to us. Well, I'm not only talking about money here, I'm talking about other things in life. And there are things that money could never buy. There may be times when God will stir a person and say, I want you to take your wife out on a date. Guys, listen to me. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yeah. Take your wife out on a date. Take her somewhere she wants to go. Don't take her to the sports bar that you want to go to with 82 big screens. Take her somewhere that's got a white tablecloth that she wants to go to. Be nice to her. The Spirit of God may stir you to do something for your wife just to show love, not for any other hidden agenda or any other purpose, but just to show love. And women, the Spirit of God may stir you too and put something in your heart to do something nice for your husband, for your parents, for your children. Children, the Spirit of God can stir you. And when the Spirit of God is stirring, that's when you want to say yes. You don't want to learn how to push down the Holy Spirit by saying no to him or ignoring him. You want to say yes to him and to give him what it is that he's stirring you. That means it's so important to keep your eyes on the Lord, to keep your ears open to the Lord. Now, I just want to close by both raising the bar and lowering the bar. You know, sometimes when we're talking about how we grow and how we move ahead, people come up with really big ambitions. There's this period where I wasn't going to the gym enough to do cardio. And so I decided I would impress my trainer. I said, you know, I want to come 3 times a week to do cardio. And he said to me, once would be good. That's right. I've been with messianic rabbis. We're talking about what God's doing, and we love to talk about what God's going to do. Well, I'm praying for 1,000 people in my congregation. And I know the Lord's saying, you know, 50 would be good. That'd be a start. Sometimes we act as if ambitious high goals are what we need to set. And they may be part of the picture, but not the whole thing. What we need to set as well is, what are we going to do right now? Lord, if I had $1 million, I'd give it all to you right now. He said, well, how about 10 bucks? Right? To raise the bar, we have to learn to say yes to little things that God calls us to do. Little things. They may not be the big thing that we want, but they're the little thing that counts. And to say yes to him, to say, yes, Lord, I am going to say yes to you. Now, why do I say yes to you, Lord? Because I want to. It's in my heart. My grandson Jacob here with me tonight, he's going to be tutoring some kids in math this spring. One of the ways he wants to earn money for a camp he wants to go to. And he was telling me about his plans. He said, now, I only want students who want to learn. If their problem is they're not paying attention and that's why they're not learning and they're not going to pay attention to me, I don't want to tutor them. And I said, that's good. That's good. Good to have a standard like that. He said, if they need help learning to work through stuff and they pay attention, they do what I show them to do, I'll help him learn. He was telling me about this girl who was struggling, getting poor grades, ended up on her final test for the year with a 97. And so he knows he can do it. He knows he can help. But he also has standards. And you see, it's really important to know what's in your heart and to know your standards and to say, Lord, I want to grow little by little. I want to get stronger. I want to have more. I want to be more generous. I want to give more. I want to do this, I want to do that. And then to be content with the step-by-step, ma'at ma'at. We used to say in Ukraine, shag za shagam, step-by-step, you move forward. It's so important to have a high standard, but realistic steps to take to get there. Because if you have a high standard and you're unrealistic, you will not meet the standard. The key with God is just like the key with exercise and every other thing that requires strength. You build your strength a little bit at a time. You build your faithfulness a little bit at a time. Here's what people have learned. If you say, I want to pray an hour a day, good, you probably won't. If you say, I want to pray a minute a day, you'll say, well, that's nothing. No, actually, that may be more than you're praying. And you say, I'm going to pray a minute a day. Because I know this, if I can pray for a minute a day, I might be able to pray for 2 minutes later. And if I can pray for 2 minutes a day every day, I might be able to pray for 3 minutes a day every day. And then little by little, ma'at, ma'at, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Through repetition, repeating at one level and then building up a little bit at a time. This is the way that you actually grow. And it's not impressive, because you go to your friends and you say, hey, you know what? My rabbi's a real man of God, and he's encouraging me to pray for a minute. And they'll say, well, what kind of craziness is that? You know, my rabbi encouraged us to pray for an hour. It's like, I'm just hoping you'll pray for a minute. Because I know if you pray for a minute, it'll grow and grow and grow. And if you set unrealistic goals to start with, you'll drop out. And you'll be disappointed, and you won't fulfill what's in your heart. You might say, well, I want to give a tithe. I'd say, well, start with 1%, work up to 2% the next week, give 3% the next week, give 4% the next week, and give yourself 10 weeks to get there. That's better than saying, oh, well, I did it 1 week and then I stopped. Build up. Find your way. Get clear in your heart. What do you want to do? You might say, well, I want to be nice to people every day. Well, try being nice first thing in the morning and see if you can do that. Every time you set a little goal like that and then you accomplish it, you get a strength that you can then build on and go further. And I believe that we're in a season where that little bit gets added and added and added, and it increases until it's great abundance and overflowing. So if you want to grow, you want to move forward, you want to break through, and you're content with a little bit, knowing it's not the end, it's just the next step, and then you want a little bit more and a little bit more, I want to pray for you. Everybody who's in that condition, I'm going to pray for. Lord, there are some who are here tonight and they're stirred because they know that to get to that ultimate goal that you put in their heart, they can start with a little now. And then they can take another step as they're fulfilling that. And they can keep going. And I want to pray for your courage to start. I want to pray for your perseverance to continue. I want to pray for humility, that none of us would despise the day of small beginnings. That we would not say, unless it's dramatic and ambitious, it's not worth anything. We know, Lord, even small things are worth great things to you. And you tell us, be faithful with a little, you'll be given more. And so I pray, Lord, fill us up with the faith that allows us to take one step at a time every day. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And you don't have to stand alone. If you see somebody who's alone, just invite them to your group. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace.